The sermon text for this morning is from the gospel lesson that was just read. A father wrote about what happened when his son David was about 5 years old. They attended a church where it was common for the preacher to invite children to the front of the church for a children's sermon. We call it YTZ. On one particular morning, the pastor brought with him an example of a smoke detector and asked the children if anyone that came up this morning knew what it meant when the alarm on the smoke detector went off. Well, little David wasn't afraid to talk up, raised his hand up real high and said, "I know what it means." And the pastor said, "Well, what does it mean?" He said, "It means Daddy is cooking." This is Father's Day. This is a day in which we give thanks to our earthly fathers on how they depend on the Heavenly Father for guidance and leadership in their lives. Today we want to recognize those men who have taken that responsibility to their families very seriously, just as they have taken their responsibilities before God very seriously as well. And many of you fathers have done just that. And today we salute you and we say congratulations, because it is not easy being a father in this world today. Our lesson from the gospel is one that I believe that most dads will like. Jesus says to his disciples, "What I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. What is whispered in your ear, proclaim from the roof." Jesus is talking about being enthusiastic. Be enthusiastic about your faith. Every house has a roof, right? Your home has a roof. The buildings in downtown Fredericksburg all have roofs. Our church, if you look up and you can see, we have a roof as well. Roofs are important and for obvious reasons. Most of the houses in Jesus' time had roofs that were straight flat. There was no pitch to them, and they were flat because they used the roofs as areas to dry straw. They used it for working. They also used it for relaxing. And when people had really important news to proclaim, what did they do? They went to the rooftop and they proclaimed that news with enthusiasm because it was something that was important. Jesus is talking about having that same kind of openness about your religious convictions as you do your favorite basketball and football teams. Now, I know many of you do attend sports or watch sports on TV, and many of you can get a little bit excited when your team scores a point or whatever it may be, and then you come to church. Well, we'll go on. And we're not quite as enthusiastic, are we? We need to bring that excitement, that enthusiasm into our house of worship, into our lives, into the community, because the faith of Jesus Christ can catch on when we just get a spark going, as the old song says. In the text we read, "What I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. What I whisper in your ear, proclaim on the roof." Our text is about important news. Our text here is all about the love of God and for us. Jesus died for us. Jesus saved us from our sins. That is something to get excited about, isn't it? Jesus created us, that we talked about a moment ago. Our bodies are a marvel, and we have a lot of things to be excited about. You can even look at the example, if you have a bulletin in front of you that is there at the bottom of the gospel there. It shows Jesus there with his hand up high. Imagine that he also is excited about something as well. The Bible tells, do not be afraid to tell people about God. God wants you to get excited about all of this. It's the most important news in the world. Well, a couple of things I'd like to really point out to you this morning. First of all, Jesus is looking for enthusiastic people. Are you enthusiastic about the Lord? Have you ever looked about that you have enthusiasm for the Lord? Or are you just doing what you have to do? I'll bet you if you look at it a little differently, you'll see that your excitement for the Lord is leading you to service in other areas. Jesus is looking for people who have that positive feeling about their faith, and people who are willing to take positive action in this world. There was an interesting story years ago about Washington Redskins quarterback Gus Frerotte. Now, Gus had just scored a touchdown, and he was just as excited as all the other players. They were getting jumping all around and everything else. And what does Gus do? He goes to the concreted area on the side and rams his head, headbutts it right there. Well, in that exuberance of scoring that touchdown, he went to the hospital with a self-inflicted neck injury. Now, nothing was very serious. He just sprained his neck. But that's the enthusiasm he had. Now, I'm not asking you to get hurt for Jesus. I'm not asking you to get that excited. But let's show a little enthusiasm about what we do for Jesus and how we do it. Jesus is looking for enthusiasm about him, about God. Jesus is looking for us to be enthusiastic with the love of God for other people, to not hide it under a bushel, to let it fly, to let it go. Jesus is looking for that. Are you, as dads, enthusiastic in your family? Do you, the leader of enthusiasm for things that goes on in your family, or do you let things go flat? Maybe you need to look at your life, restructure some things, and get more excited about things for our Lord. Secondly, the most significant thing that many of us could do is to be a more effective witness for Christ within an enthusiastic attitude. I know this piggybacks off of the first point, but I have a couple of things I want to share with you. A psychologist, William James, said, and I quote, "It is our attitude at the beginning of a difficult undertaking which, more than anything else, will determine its successful outcome." So our attitude at the beginning of whatever adventure we have dictates what kind of an outcome we're going to have. Dr. Judith Bryle has a book out called The Confidence Factor, and she lists what she calls 10 commandments of confidence. Now, these were written for business people, granted, but I always look at things in the light of Jesus Christ. And I look at the light of the things in our world. And I want you to listen to these 10 commandments of confidence. And I want you to apply it to your own lives as a Christian and how they might be able to help you to become that enthusiastic person for Christ. Number one, to your own self be true. To your own self be true. What's that saying is, listen to that inner voice inside of you. Don't let other people derail you from what you were doing for Jesus. March to your own tune, not someone else's tune. Because the church is made out of diversity. And because of diversity, we're able to do so much for our Lord. So be true to yourself. Number two, create positive thinking. Associate yourself with different people. Maybe you need to associate yourself with people who will charge you up. Be with energy chargers rather than people that will drain you dry. Don't let negativism drag you down. Remain positive for the Lord, because the gospel is all about good things for us. The gospel is about positive things in our lives. Number three, and this is very important, know that you are not alone. Remember, there are millions of people in this world, and millions of people have died before us, and a lot of people have walked in our footsteps before us. So we're not alone. We have other people with us in our journey as a Christian. So when the tough times happen, we could rely on each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. Number four, and this is very important for the Christian, learn something new. Get busy. Sign up for classes. Read a book. Get involved in your community. I say, get involved in Bible studies at your church. Get involved in worship, more so than just coming and listening, but participate in it by knowing the scriptures and reading them and applying them to your life. Watch the devotions that Pastor Lisa and I are doing in the midweek time. Let those be motivation to you. But learn something. I'm learning something every single day. And I am so thankful that I had that opportunity to learn more about Jesus. And I want you to have that same feeling inside, that same happiness, that same thing that makes you want to just smile inside, that God is good. Whatever you do, it's going to rejuvenate you. And that's part of being a good Christian. Number five, assess the situation. Well, put that in terms, it says, just be realistic. I could not come before you and do 100 push-ups at all. I know that. So I'm not going to tell you I can do that. I will tell you I could maybe do one, maybe two, I don't know. But be realistic about what you take on. Number six, take credit for your accomplishments. Now, this could get really touchy at times. But what I'm trying to tell you here is to be thankful for the accomplishments you have had. Don't let it go to your head, but pat yourself on the back from time to time. Keep a file containing all the complimentary things that other people have said about you and about your work, so that when you do fall in the valley of depression and those dark times, you can go back to that file and you could read those things that other people thought of you independently on their own, and you could say, wow, I did make a difference. I can make a difference. And let that pull you up out of the despair that you may feel. In times of crisis, it's good to have those positive things at hand to help you lift up. And number seven, two words, aspire higher. Aspire higher. In other words, stretch yourself. Don't be satisfied with where you are. Consider your role in our church and push yourself to do more. Push yourself to try something new. Aspire higher. Do more for the Lord. Do more that's within reason in your life. Read about the things that could be done. Learn what they are all about and get involved, because that's the only way the church will be able to survive is if each and every one of us aspire higher in doing ministry. Number eight, don't bottle things up. Get feedback. Now, I wish I could see you all, but I can't. But I'd like for you to raise your hand, even if I'm not there, and answer this question. Do you bottle things up? If you bottle things up, raise your hand. Now, how is that working for you? Does that work really well? Well, the people, I imagine what I'm looking at are people shaking their head saying, no, not really, Pastor, it's not working at all. Talk things over with someone you could trust. Talk things over with your spouse. Talk things over with a relative. Talk things over with your pastors. Make sure the feedback you get is from someone who is caring, someone who is supportive, and most importantly, someone who will not judge you for what you have done and what you are doing. Those are very critical points in trying to help you to aspire higher, to try to learn something new. You get the point. You have to do it this way. Choose and get the feedback, but choose rightly and appropriately who you get feedback from, and then stay with that person. Don't go to 50 different people to get 50 different viewpoints. Stay with a person you trust and let them help you for whatever it may be. Number nine, do take care of yourself. Eat right, exercise, sleep, and play. We as adults are probably getting an F in playing. But we'll try to do the exercise thing, and we'll try to do the sleep thing, and we'll try to eat right. But how many of you actually play? That's a whole different concept for all of us. Fathers, you need to do this. You need to play. You need to get things out there to where you can relax and be who God has created you to be. Laugh a lot. Get your life in balance. Learn to make time for yourself. This world has gotten so busy, and a lot of it's because we've gone digital with all the different conveniences that we have now. And we have gotten so busy that we forget one of the crucial things for us to remain as people of Christ is that play factor and to balance our lives out properly. Because I don't know about you, but when my life gets out of balance and I get too much of one or too much of this, I don't feel right. It's only when I try to get back to balance that I begin to feel better. And the last particular thing about the confidence, the Ten Commandments of confidence, is keep in circulation. Keep in circulation. When rough times happen in you, when failures hit you, what do you do? Do you withdraw? Do you go hide your head in the sand? What do? When failure hits. But you know, be honest with you, it is very common for us to withdraw, to not let the outside world that things are not all well for me right now. The sooner you revolve yourself, in other words, get yourself out there in the world, get yourself in a positive place where there are positive chargers around you, the sooner you're going to get right back on track. Why am I telling you these things? Because I want our church to be healthier. I want our church to be stronger. I want our people to be committed to serve our Lord and to do it with a joyful heart. I want people to build people up in the church and not put people down. I don't want anyone to think that they feel less than another person when they come to worship with us, whether it be on the radio or on YouTube. We all need to be healthier. There are too many challenges in the world that are keeping us from that healthy attitude and that healthy feeling. Jesus Christ is more powerful than all of that. Jesus Christ will get us through all of that because he wants us to be enthusiastic followers. He wants people to have a healthy appreciation of themselves. He wants people to be healthy and appreciate other people. He wants people who are excited, and he wants people to get involved in the church and in the community. Of course, finally, the primary source of our enthusiasm will be Jesus Christ himself. Everything in the world will help us get excited about things. Father's Day gets us excited for some families, but that falls short. The only thing that I have found in my ministry, in my life, that does not fall short is Jesus Christ. He is the same now, he is the same yesterday, and he is the same tomorrow. And he will be our way, the truth, and the life. Enthusiasm comes from the Greek word that means the God within, the God within. The surest path to a positive, confident, enthusiastic life is to open ourselves enthusiastically to Jesus Christ and to that indwelling spirit inside. Let your faith in Jesus Christ, rather than the circumstances of the life right now, because things are so confusing, things are changing minute by minute, don't let those things affect your attitude. Jesus wants you to be enthusiastic. He wants you to have the God within you. He wants those followers of the world to be positive influence. If need be, he wants people who can sing his praise in the darkest of darkest times. Such an enthusiastic spirit begins when we allow Jesus Christ and his spirit to invade our lives. That's your homework assignment. Let Jesus come in a very beautiful way this week. See that your hands and your feet and all about you is a miracle of God. And let that speak to you in a way that it never has. Let's all be enthusiastic for our Lord. Let's, as fathers, be enthusiastic for our families. Let us see what difference we can make in our world. It's a challenge for all of us. And I hope that you will join. May God be with you. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.